620 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. There's been another mass shooting in Louisville, Kentucky. Two people were killed last night when someone fired into a crowd of hundreds of people who'd gathered at a park. Mayor Craig Greenberg.
On Monday, we lost five of our fellow citizens to a horrific act of workplace gun violence. And now, 5 days later, we're at another scene of a reckless act of gun violence.
Four people were wounded last night. Police say they have no suspects. Now to the latest on a woman who was shot in the parking lot of a store in Tennessee by an employee.
A woman who was 7 months pregnant was shot by a Walgreens employee in Nashville after he suspected she had stolen cosmetics from its pharmacy. Now she and her newborn baby remain hospitalized after undergoing an emergency C-section. The employee said he was in fear and did not know if Ferguson and another woman she was with were armed.
CBS's Matt Piper. Three Canadian Pacific Kansas City Railroad employees have been hospitalized after a train derailment in rural Maine, says CBS's Adriana Diaz.
Three CPKC locomotives and six cars came off the rails, sparking a fire. The company says no hazardous materials were involved and no threat to the public.
The Maine Forest Service indeed says some hazardous materials were on board the train, but officials concluded there's no risk of them leaking or catching fire. Hundreds of abortion rights supporters marched in downtown Los Angeles yesterday. They're angry about a ruling by a federal judge in Texas that could result in the banning of an abortion pill. KCBS TV reporter Jeff Nguyen was there.
Mifepristone has been approved for use to end pregnancy for more than 20 years, but groups have challenged the Food and Drug Administration's handling of the drug's approval.
It's not about abortion. It's about control of women's bodies.
The CDC says suicide was the 11th highest cause of death for people in the U.S. in 2021, and the rate is increasing. Michael Prinstein is the chief science officer at the American Psychological Association. He says discussion about suicide makes it more likely someone will reach out for help instead of turning to self-harm.
Research clearly says that talking about suicide doesn't make someone more likely to consider it or engage in suicidal thoughts, but rather it's usually a relief that someone has created a safe space for someone to be able to express how they're feeling.
Police in coastal Kenya say they found 15 emaciated parishioners on the property of a church pastor. Four of them have died. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours.
Spilled your milkshake? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to your milkshake.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than your
Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Ray Maliozzi here for eBay Motors. Okay, easy now. You're teaching your kid how to parallel park. Ouch! Turns out he likes to do it by feel. Don't worry, eBay Motors has bumpers, trunk lids, license plate holders, and headlights. They've got lots of headlights. When you need parts, get it right the first time with eBay Guaranteed Fit. When you see the check, you know that part's gonna fit. eBay Motors, let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Better days are coming. It's called Saturday and Sunday at Jammers Bar and Grill. On the weekend, kick back with the Jammers 5 Beer Bucket Special. Any domestic beer you want, mix and match, $10. Jammers is the best in burgers, sandwiches, and apps. Don't forget Jammers is the spot for fun, and they have plenty of room for your next party. That's Jammers Bar and Grill, 2810 Eagle Road, Wisconsin Rapids.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm warning begins at 7 p.m. this evening and continues until 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Cloudy skies expected today with scattered thunderstorms likely. High of 48, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. 27 tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 46.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Good evening, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. We are here downtown Waukesha on a gloomy, drizzly night. April 3rd, tomorrow, April 4th, 2023. That election is going to tell us a lot about the future of Wisconsin, where we're going, where democracy stands, not only in Wisconsin, but around country. But before we get into maybe tomorrow, you know, I was reading end of the week, last week, Rainbow Land was outlawed in a school, a concert out here in Waukesha. And I said, wow, how can we not have rainbows in Waukesha? So in many ways, Waukesha is like ground zero for who we are as Wisconsinites. And I thought some background on Rainbowland, it would be great to have a couple of parents and a teacher join us to talk about what is going on in Waukesha. And I'm delighted and honored to have with me tonight Reverend David Simmons, Sarah Harrison. Good evening, folks.
Good evening.
So let's start with you, Reverend. What's the personal story that you bring or you can share with all of us so we got some idea of what's going on in Waukesha?
Yeah, sure. So my family moved here about 15 years ago when I became the pastor of St. Matthias Episcopal Church here in Waukesha. And we were really excited to move from the south, from Kentucky up here. Especially because, you know, I spent a lot of time like studying Wisconsin when we were looking at this and the kind of progressive idea of Wisconsin, of on Wisconsin, of forward Wisconsin, of, you know, across the political divide, whether people were Republicans or Democrats. One of the members of my church, Lee Sherman Dreyfuss, was the governor of Wisconsin at one point, signed the first legislation in the nation that outlawed workplace discrimination against LGBTQIA people in 1982, and he was a Republican governor. So, you know, this is the history of Wisconsin, is that progressive, forward Wisconsin ideal that was so really attractive to us when we moved here. Likewise, the school system performed really well and was a clearly an open and accepting place, especially compared to where we were in Western Kentucky at that point. So I think the change has been really noticeable for us. My daughter self-identifies as part of the LGBTQIA community, and we had a son already go through Waukesha West High School. So when we were Looking at the schools, we already knew that there were all these signs of acceptance in the schools. There were these pride flags. There were these open space safe space signs that she would feel comfortable going to Waukesha West. And that changed almost literally overnight when the school board took a novel interpretation of an old policy and changed the way signage was taken care of. And
so what's the time frame for that?
Oh, gosh.
2 years ago?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago, and it happened literally within like a week. And it was part of the issue that we can talk about if we want to, is how weirdly it was implemented and how unclear the policy was from the very beginning and continues to be. That the unclearness certainly follows into the whole Rainbow Land issue here.
What happened in terms of 2 years ago? What happened in terms of how did that play out in your house, in your home?
So the school board created this sign policy that outlawed anything that was a, quote, a political issue that was controversial. And all of a sudden, the interpretation was being in the LGBTQIA community and showing any support for it was a controversial political issue. It went from being identity to being some sort of a controversial political issue. And the way that played out is I immediately became concerned, because the first step whenever a population is going to be persecuted is to take away the visible signs of support for that community. We see that again and again and again throughout history. So I immediately sent something to both the principal at West and the administration saying, what you're going to see is an increase in discrimination against the LGBTQIA community, because you're removing a symbol of support. And when that happens, the people in that community, whether you're intending it or not, the people will feel less supported. And those who are bigoted against that community will feel that they've been emboldened to speak out. And unfortunately, that's exactly what's happened over the last 2 years. In my case,
wow.
Yeah. So in my case, my daughter, on October 1st, 2021, was with a group of kids in the Gay Straight Alliance, who were sitting at a table in a cafeteria at Waukesha West. Another student in the GSA was handing out pride flags at that point. My daughter was sitting there. Somebody brought over this pride flag that they had written Trump 2024 and Blue Lives Matter on it and put it right in the middle of this group and started laughing. So it was obvious that they were being, it was a issue of LGBTQIA harassment. One of the kids in the group with her took a picture. So we have the picture for documentation. The other kid who dropped it and was part of a group that were standing around at that point picked it back up a little bit later and walked away. My daughter said that everybody was just kind of stunned at that point. They didn't know how to respond because they had never experienced that kind of overt harassment before. It was reported duly to the principal as it was supposed to be. I insisted that when the principal interviewed my daughter, that he have me present, because I do not trust that administration is going to classify things in the way that they do. He asked her directly how she classified the incident. She said it was a hate crime, was the way that she classified it, reporting it to the principal. I asked several times after, how discipline was handled, was told that was none of my business, that they couldn't say anything because it would violate student
confidentiality,
even though I wasn't asking for names. I was just asking how the incident was handled. And I also asked how would it be classified when it was reported to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, and was kind of told they wouldn't tell me that they hadn't classified it, et cetera. So I just waited until a few weeks ago when the DPI reports came out for 2021-2022. And lo and behold, the official reporting of the School District of Waukesha to the Wisconsin DPI is that there were no reported incidents of same-gender harassment in the entire school district for that school year.
So you know it wasn't reported.
Obviously, it was not reported. Even though, and the rubric for filling it out says you have to report them if they're verbally reported, if they're written reported, if they're alleged and withdrawn. It doesn't really matter. They have to be reported to the DPI. And the district did not report this. If my question is, gosh, if they didn't report this very clear incident, how many other incidents were not reported?
So, Sarah, your story.
Yeah, so I have two wonderful young humans. One is 16 now, one is 19 now. My 16-year-old is a sophomore at Waukesha South, and my 19-year-old is now a freshman at UW-Milwaukee. And in the last couple of years, they have been brave enough to come with me to multiple school board meetings and speak to the board about all the things that they're seeing and how it makes them feel to have this support withdrawn from their community. They both are non-binary, and they both are part of that LGBTQ plus community. And so first of all, I give them a lot of kudos, because I'm not sure when I was, I mean, my youngest was 14 when this first came around. I'm pretty sure when I was 14, I was not brave enough to go stand in front of a room full of adults in suits who look very intimidating and tell them why they're hurting me. That sounds real intimidating to me. The other side of what we're seeing is now that my oldest is off in college, they're seeing a lot of things that are almost like culture shock to them now, because they're seeing rainbows and they're seeing, you know, supportive messaging and supportive signage. And they're like, oh yeah, we used to have this, but it's truly like a culture shock to them now, because they got so used to that's an unusual thing that it still draws their eye, even, you know, into their second semester.
So what were their stories that you can share?
Sure. Absolutely. So, they have had friends who were not comfortable being out necessarily at home, who were out at school. And now with this parental rights and transparency, so-called, which all the rights we already have, and I feel like it's not very transparent, but that's another issue, that resolution calls upon our staff to tell parents if students are identifying by, you know, a pronoun other than their assigned gender at birth. And so there's concern within the student population of, well, can I really be myself at school? Or does that mean that potentially that means I have to be ready to be out at home? And they, some of them are not ready for that. So these are kids who are already in a really difficult place in life. I mean, I wouldn't want to go back to being 15 or 16 years old for anything.
Yeah, I agree with you.
without that. And then you throw that on top, and it's an incredibly stressful situation for those kids who just want to be themselves.
Did the experience change when new policies were adopted? In other words, what was, you know, sort of the visceral changes? Yeah. What was going on in the schools?
Yeah.
Because we've heard a little bit about Waukesha West.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you said your kids are at?
So my youngest is at South, and my elder went to North. So we've got all three high schools covered. I would say more of what they witnessed were frequent microaggressions is what I'm going to call it, where it wasn't necessarily a big, bold statement like what David is talking about here, but things like a flag getting ripped down off someone's locker, that kind of thing.
Folks.
And my daughter reports that that's happening. The microaggressions are happening.
We will be right back to talk much more with Reverend David Simmons, Sarah Harrison, talking about Rainbow Land and its abolition here in Waukesha. This is the Paul Revere Show.
Really make a difference in this world. Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone, America's number one brakes destination. We have the pads, rotors, drums, shoes, and brake fluids to improve your stopping power. Right now, save 15% when you get any two Duralast rotors with a set of Duralast brake pads. Missing a tool? Ask about our free Loan-A-Tool program and borrow the tools you need to get the job done.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Claim based on data from the NPD Group 2021. Deposit required for Loan-A-Tool.
Owning livestock can be a tricky business at times. The insurance team at Egg Country Farm Credit Services understands, which is why we work with ranchers every day to help mitigate risk. So whether you're looking for protection against price declines or loss of gross margin, Egg Country can help you. Livestock revenue protection is available for cattle, dairy, and swine. Learn more about your options by contacting your local Egg Country office.
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM. We are here, and we're talking a very important issue, and just in terms of what is a safe school, what's a fair school, why, if we had laws passed as early as 1982 recognizing gay folks, their equal right, why are we sitting here at a time when we have an administration that is not allowing Rainbow Land to be played at a elementary school concert. And we were, just before the break, we were talking to Reverend David Simmons and Sarah Harrison. They were sharing their experience and their kids' experience. And Sarah, you were sort of talking about, you know, what happened to the kids?
I think that really a lot of it came down to, you know, like we were talking about the microaggressions. So it's small things. It might be someone getting shoved in a hallway, someone, things that don't cause necessarily a life impacting, thing to happen. But when you add it all up, it becomes a pretty heavy load for these LGBTQ plus kids to bear, and for no reason other than who they are. It's not the way that I have taught my kids to treat other people, and it's not good treatment. It's not good citizenship to treat your fellow students in that way.
So how do you see fellow parents responding to these issues? How has that been playing out for the last couple of years?
Sure.
Sarah, well, and then we'll go to the Reverend, and then we'll have a new guest join us and give us a teacher's perspective.
Absolutely. So we've had a lot of parents who have been opposed to these policies from day one, and have come to many meetings and spoken out against them, parents, teachers, students, community members. And there are those who also, on the other side, who think it's necessary, although I have not yet heard a well-articulated reason why. But there are definitely folks who, to be fair, there are folks on the other side. But we have been vocal. We have been writing and speaking and calling and doing all the things you're supposed to do to impact change. And it's all really fallen on deaf ears over the last couple of years.
So, Reverend, when you got into this and you started looking at the policy and what changed, what did you learn? Because I know that you've published on this and you've, I'm assuming you've given sermons about it.
Well, I mean, I generally, sermons have to do with you know, the way that we conceive that Jesus calls us to work on these particular ways. So I try to make a clear distinction between what I'm working on with public policy and what I'm doing as a preacher of the word. Although that becomes difficult because quite often people who are opposing or who are supporting the policies the school board are pushing are bringing up religious reasons at the school board meetings. So occasionally I remind them that Jesus said not to judge, and that he without sin cast the first stone, or let the little children come unto me, or any of the other things that Jesus actually said, rather than, you know, this kind of idea that other people seem to have that Jesus basically supports whatever they think.
Before I turn the mic over for a mini sermon,
because yeah.
I think
yeah, be careful there.
I think it's appropriate this week. I mean, you know, those folks that hold themselves out as Christians just had Palm Sunday, and this is a very special week, and it would be appropriate to have that sermon. But going back to the public mm-hmm. policy,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, yeah. And what did you see, and what did you learn about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Sarah has done more work on this than I have, of the idea that many of the policies that are being promulgated by the school board are not something that they're coming up with just out of nowhere. You can find similarities between the things that the school board and administration are putting out and several of the legislation that's coming out from different senators or in different places throughout the U.S. People are not just, it's not like this just showed up in Waukesha. It's something that's going on all over the U.S.
But what did you find out when this happened mm-hmm. to your family mm-hmm. and you went to the school board? What were you told in terms of what's the policy and why did the policy exist?
Well, I mean, the way they articulate the policy is it's because somehow these signs were disruptive to the learning environment. That's how it's couched, is that these signs were controversial, and the controversy is not part of the curriculum, supposedly, you know, which I can argue on that too, but that was causing a disruption in the learning environment. However, I've never actually heard anybody present a time where that was disruptive.
Right. In other words, because the rainbows were there.
Yeah,
and there weren't problems until someone said we want to outlaw them.
That's what I would say. And you know, we've had, as Sarah was talking about, we've had scores of kids from the three high schools come to school board meetings and talk about how harmful the policy has been to them. I have yet to hear a single child come and talk about the impact of how it was before the signage policy was put into place. I've heard several angry adults talk about how they were offended by it, but I haven't heard a single student articulate how that was causing a disruptive learning environment for them. So on one side, you've got scores of kids coming before the school board regularly saying how harmful this is. And on the other side, some adults with some vague ideas. And unfortunately, that doesn't seem, the fact that we're dealing with LGBTQIA youth who are four times as more likely to commit suicide as the general population. That's documented information from the Trevor Project. These are kids at risk.
This is your Paul Revere Show. We'll be right back on the other side to talk from an educator's point of view what has happened here.
Together we can start living
it. Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hi, I'm EJ Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
I'm William Shatner, and I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm warning begins at 7 p.m. this evening and continues until 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Cloudy skies expected today with scattered thunderstorms likely. High of 48, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. 27 tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 46.
Welcome back. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. We are here every Monday night, 7 to 8, talking about the latest, what's happening, how to keep Wisconsin moving forward. Tonight we're talking about why we can't have Rainbow Land as a song in elementary school concerts. here in Waukesha sort of the ground zero of, but where we're going is particularly, I think, white folks in the state. Are we going to go towards equality, or are we going to buy into hate? And I've been joined, and it's a privilege to have Reverend David Simmons with me, Sarah Harrison, and I also have Monica Whaley. Hi, Monica.
Hello, Mark.
So you were a teacher, former teacher, that lived through this policy change. So from tell us, what was it like from the teacher's vantage point, and what can you share?
Sure. So my wife and I came here 11 years ago to come into a community that was far more diverse than where we had been. We have a daughter who is Black, and she was the only student in that school district. And so we wanted her to have more representation when we went into this area. And Waukesha at the time had a great reputation for being diverse, for being inclusive, and for really just a great educational system. So we were happy to come to this district. And my wife left Menominee Falls and came here as well to teach. And then we had a new superintendent. And the ironic thing about Jim Siebert is when he was hired, he touted that he was for open-mindedness and embracing diversity. And in the last couple of years, the board has kind of swung far to the right, and so it has changed this whole environment here in Waukesha, especially in our district education.
How did you see that as a teacher?
So when I came here, I felt included as a member of the LGBTQ community, and I saw the signage that was up. Everyone is welcome. This is a safe space. And so those teachers who wanted to be there and be supportive for students were able to do that. Those that didn't think that they were qualified to do that, they didn't have their signs out, and that was fine. And these were actually given to the districts throughout the state from DPI more than 10 years ago. And so a lot of districts had them up to be welcoming. And when Siebert got here, things just changed drastically. We had in the district, it was called a DELT team. It was District Equity Leadership Team. So we had an administrator on there, and then a lot of the teachers on there to be kind of a think tank as to how we can be more inclusive and the things that we can do with the curriculum and with the environment in the school district to make it a safer place. And one of the first things that Siebert did was to disband a lot of the policies. So it was really kind of a shadow team of, you know, any kind of policies being enforced. And then a month later, he actually got rid of the equity leader. She had made a move from one school as a principal to take that position. And then within a month, she was out of a job. They found another job for her in the district, but the reason she left was to be that. And she's a person of color. And so racially, I think that this is it's not a healthy environment either. So it draws into question just how inclusive and diverse is this district.
So as a teacher, are you still a teacher now?
I retired in June early because just of the environment of not being welcoming and having hateful people. Parents who had called us heroes, you know, during the pandemic are suddenly now calling us villains and groomers because we're trying to take these kids who had been in this once-in-a-lifetime situation at home and not at school and not with their friends and, you know, bring them back in a healthy environment. And suddenly social, emotional learning is a hot topic, and we can't teach that to the kids. But these kids haven't had any of that for 2 years while they were out from the pandemic. And so it just got to be really hostile.
What do you think the attitude is amongst teachers and parents that you worked with? And how does this play out?
I think a lot of the teachers are really frustrated, and they are so burned out. I don't think a lot of people understand what teachers went through during the pandemic. We had to teach online and we had to teach in person. And I mean, it was double the workload. And then to come back and have this kind of environment was, it just burned you out. And not feeling like the administration and the Board of Education has your back when you're in the classroom. Who would want to be in this situation? Last year, we saw more teachers leave than ever in this district because of that. We've had administration leave, especially people of color, BIPOC people, and LGBTQ teachers and administrators leave because of that.
Is there a sense that there is concern in the community about this?
There's a big concern about turnover.
How do you see that play out?
Sure. So not only within the school districts, but as far as the economic viability of Waukesha, how are we going to draw in more businesses, more families, if we have this kind of an environment? I think we have been the laughingstock of the nation for a couple reasons. One was the food issue when the district was the only district in the state of Wisconsin that didn't take federal funding for meals for the kids. And the school board voted against that. And after huge outrage by parents, the board changed their mind on that. But again, we're going to be fighting that same battle this year.
So putting the mic back to you, Reverend. Have you heard theological reasons or arguments in support of the change of the policy, and is it consistent with, I think you said, Jesus' teaching, or how does that play out? In other words, what's your, this is sermon moment.
Okay, so, I mean, yes, you will find in parts of the Christian community a belief that being LGBTQIA is completely incompatible with Scripture. I mean, you will hear people say that. The truth is, there's not really much scripture that even talks about this issue. Jesus is much more concerned about money and how people deal with their money than he is actually about human sexuality. But we tend to kind of gloss over that. But, you know, you talked about this being Holy Week, and, you know, one of the things that I think about on Holy Week is the question of, you know, if you're a believer, what did Jesus die for? There's a 13th century English mystic, Julian of Norwich, who has a vision, who sees this really horrific vision of Jesus dying on the cross, and then all of a sudden he comes to her whole and says, "Are you satisfied with what I've done for you?" So whereas a lot of people seem to have some sort of strange idea that Jesus had to die to assuage God's honor or to take care of the debt between humanity and God, you know, what Julian said is, it's not that, it's the wrath is in humanity, and Jesus came to take that wrath, our own wrath, away from it. So with that wrath, you know, I think that's what you see playing out so often, is people are working out of their own wrath here. And if you're a Christian, Jesus died back then to take that wrath away from us. So when we continue to indulge in that hate, when we continue to indulge in not letting people just be who they're created by God to be, we kind of blaspheme against the crucifixion of our Lord. So to me, it's really frustrating to hear people use Christianity and the Scripture as a way, as a stick to beat up LGBTQIA people or people of color or any other thing, because it's very clear to me that Jesus died for all of humanity.
Is there a sense that the broader community, Waukesha, is engaging in that kind of theological discussion about what does our policy, what should it look like?
I don't think there's a theological discussion so much. I mean, you'll find, you know, most people who are outside the church probably think that the majority of Christians believe that Jesus was anti-LGBTQIA. That's not true. I mean, if you look among most, especially the mainline Protestants in Waukesha, you're going to find that most of us are openly affirming.
So how are mainline Protestants then addressing these policy issues?
Well, it's mostly in our own communities of just trying to make sure that we're as affirming as we can be. For a lot of us, I mean, there are a lot of us who are involved. For instance, I'm on the board of the new PFLAG, group here.
So tell us, what is PFLAG?
PFLAG is it's a very old group. It's been around for decades. That basically is about education and support for parents. Originally for parents. Oh, here. Oh, I've just been handed a PFLAG.
Yeah,
the first U.S. organization.
I was going to have Monica parents, weigh in on it, too.
Families and allies of LGBTQ individuals. They provide support and resources to this group and community members. So it's really designed to help, especially with parents who are struggling with their child who is coming out or going through transition. How do we help them in that case and understand what's going on with their children?
So, Monica, you pass that off. do you participate in PFLAG, too?
Yes, I'm also on the board.
So how is PFLAG as a board, how are they involved in the community on this issue?
Well, it's a brand-new charter, and it was brought about by parents who have children who identify as LGBTQ, and they wanted to have resources because, you know, of the struggle within the district of not being supportive, but also just how do we prepare ourselves for what our children are going to go through? How do we make environments more accommodating and friendlier for them? I went to the first meeting just to find out more about it, but also to see what kind of resources I can help them out with, too. Because as a teacher, as a special ed teacher, that's kind of what I do. I know resources, and I know where to go and where to send people, so... you know, that was kind of my role. But I also want to say that, you know, as far as when in teaching and with the PFLAG too, is it's college and career. These kids are going to be coming out of college and they're going to go to places like other universities and community jobs, and they're going to have a diverse environment there. How are we preparing them to handle those kind of diversities when we're just kind of whitewashing everything that happens in the district?
So when you heard about the concert and Rainbow Land not being allowed, what was your response? What was PFLAG's response?
I can't speak for PFLAG, but for myself as a teacher and somebody who identifies with the LGBTQ group, I was outraged, and even more outraged because I know the teacher that was involved in this, and she's compassionate. She's a huge advocate. She's written books on you know, how to understand gender. And so to hear her get just lambasted with all of this in the community, it's very hurtful, knowing that it was with the best intentions. And really, rainbows? That's really? The hill you're going to die on.
Well, that's why we're sort of talking about it. You know, the day before a major election, because it seemed to me it's, if nothing else, it's a First Amendment issue. And it, you know, it strikes me as just remarkable that, you know, it's being tolerated. I don't, you know, has anybody filed a lawsuit yet or?
Not that I'm aware of, but we're rounding up the horses.
So, you know, here's it just. Before we go to the break, you said this teacher has been involved, written books. What has she done?
She's just been a tremendous advocate as a teacher, but also as somebody who is a straight woman who just has a passion for understanding and making the environment safe for children.
For everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. What is her name?
Melissa
Temple.
I wanted to give a shout out. So
yes,
yeah. You're right. She's made national press. So
she has.
This is your Paul Revere Show, folks. We are here talking about a very important issue. We'll be back on the other side of the break to talk more.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, one in five people experience some form of depression no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's matchingdonors.com. Matchingdonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit matchingdonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. Matchingdonors.com.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are talking about the issue of how is it possible that Rainbow Land is a song that can't be performed by elementary kids in Waukesha? I've talked a little bit about the history of it, you know, that is just like remarkable. But Sarah Harrison, we've talked about your kids. So where did these policies come from, and how is, you know, tell us about WISRED and how it's gotten involved.
Yeah. So WISRED is part of the Waukesha County Republican Party, and they have put a lot of money into our last couple of Waukesha school board races. And we have seen that their candidates have taken over our board. And now that we have a very politically aligned board, we're seeing these things come across, and we know this issue is not something that came from organic parental concern. I mean, you could deduce that just based on content commonalities between the SDW parental rights and transparency resolution, with legislation introduced by folks like Josh Hawley, Tom Cotton, and our state level Republican Wisconsin legislators as well. But we don't really have to play detective, because they're kind of saying the quiet part out loud an awful lot lately. Last year, we saw 100 books challenged in our district. 18 of those books weren't even in our libraries. So this is not a kid bringing home a book and a parent saying, oh, I'm concerned about this content. This list had to come from somewhere, and it didn't come from our schools. And a lot of those books had LGBTQ content or had race relations content. Those were the two strong trends that we saw across there. And the other thing that confirms it is, if you want to look at the opening sentence of the SDW resolution and compare it to a template that you can download from the Moms for Liberty website, which is a conservative organization with strong ties to such high-ranking Republicans as Ron DeSantis, Rick Scott, Betsy DeVos, and also some national anti-LGBTQ groups, including the Heritage Foundation. If you look at the first sentence of each of those two documents, there are only two words that are different, and they do not make a material difference in the meaning. So I don't think you have to be a detective to know that is not a coincidence. They are definitely being, they are molding in these political views into our public school policies, and it's not okay.
Well, I mean, you mentioned WISRED. This is So a new phenomena. It is not like your traditional, I would say, right, traditional George Bush Republican,
sure.
Right? I mean, or, you know, this is not, certainly not an Eisenhower Republican. Frankly, yeah. It's probably not even a Ronald Reagan view. But how does that policy get played out? And how has what? And then let's talk particularly, how has the administration responded to, you know, Rainbow Land?
Well, they first sent out a press release just kind of saying, well, fortunately, we could still do the Rainbow Connection, so everything's okay. And that was basically about all they said. And then this past week on Thursday, there was a communication that went out to all parents that was really flabbergasting to me as a person who has studied communications as well as a parent, because they were just taking no responsibility for any of the decisions. They actually stated in their document that the school board and the administration did not make this decision, but we definitely stand behind it. And it was very talking out of both sides of their mouth and throwing the staff and the teachers under the bus. And in fact, there was even like a, well, this really should have been dealt with on, you know, inside the schools under policy XYZ. And my feeling is this really shouldn't have ever come up, because they shouldn't have created a toxic environment where teachers are afraid to say the word rainbow without the superintendent's permission. So that's how I would say.
So Reverend Simmons, during the break, you had mentioned rainbows and Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
So what is that story, and how does that, you know, play out here in 2023 in Waukesha?
Yeah, I remember I grew up in South Central Kentucky in the 80s, and my mother was an elementary music teacher. And so we would learn all sorts of songs, and I cannot tell you, I mean, I could probably come up with 4 songs off the top of my head that were all about rainbows that we sang regularly. So the idea that the environment has become so toxic, it's gotten to the point, because of the way the policy has been implemented, that a local administrator at a school believes that they have to go to the school superintendent to talk about a song about rainbows, because they're afraid of what will happen, not just because something might happen, but because there's been actual disciplinary action taken against teachers for continuing to display rainbow stuff. So this is the ridiculousness of the situation, is that a first grade teacher has to go to the principal, who has to go to the superintendent of the entire school district in order to ask if they can sing a song about rainbows. And then there's a whole bunch of rigmarole where they substitute one rainbow song for another, even though their lyrics have no real difference. I mean, and they still won't articulate. I mean, the school district still, we've asked them repeatedly from multiple people, what is the objectionable content in Rainbow Land? And they will not answer that question.
Right. Folks, how is Rainbow Land dangerous to your children? Think long and hard. And if you come up with an answer, please, please, please call the school. So, Sarah, I know that you're out there politically. Reverend Simmons has limitations on what he can say about just... sure. On the partisan issue.
I cannot endorse candidates.
Right.
No, I can.
No, but I mean, and it's a very important, I mean, it's part of our separation of church and state.
Exactly.
I mean, it's so, but we do have a huge election tomorrow, Sarah, right? We have a Supreme Court race, and we have a school board race here in Waukesha that impacts these First Amendment issues. So,
yes.
What can you say on that issue?
So,
At
the Supreme Court level, Janet Protasiewicz is our hope for a future where Wisconsin can continue to go forward, as Dr. Simmons was saying earlier, as Father Simmons was saying earlier. And here in Waukesha,
he wasn't endorsing a candidate.
No, he was not endorsing a candidate. Oh, I'm sorry.
We got 30 seconds.
Forward.
I don't want to miss it. Yet.
Diane Voigt is your candidate in Waukesha. And if you're in Elmbrook, Preetha and David Irwin are your candidates for reasonable school board members.
Folks, this is your Paul Revere show. This is April 3rd, 2023. April 4th, 2023 is probably the biggest Supreme Court, state Supreme Court election in the history of Wisconsin. If you care about your children, if you care about your future, get out and vote. And vote early, because they're saying the weather may be nasty later, and you know how it is in Wisconsin. So thank you. We'll see you next week.
What is dedication?
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.